Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Kick off hour number two of the program. Yeah, good questions about players are gonna have to have agents to handle all the deals if they're popular. I mean,
I guess it's not necessary, but it's wise to allow them to have agents if they want it.
Yeah, I mean, I would think there wouldn't be that many players that would like have to have an agent, but. I mean, it's just another third party to get in on the NCAA money grab, though, right?
Sure.
Like, I don't mean NCAA. I mean college athletics. Because they're going to take their fee to handle everything.
Sure.
And
for the NFL, the marketing deals that you can do. I know this is – I'm just kind of giving you comparable. An agent is able to take up to 20% of a marketing deal.
Right.
That's for the NFL.
Only like 2 to 3% of a contract?
3% is where 3%. They max you out for a contract.
Right.
Because they – basically incentivize the agents, you can get more, and granted all this stuff can
be
negotiated,
get more by marketing the
like,
player
yeah,
out
so that's how their structure is set up. Again,
well,
the biggest
NCAA
issue,
set that limit, you think?
Well, that's the issue, because this isn't something to where I mean this is like that that's a and the NFL is like an institution of a league that is compromising across the entire United States, whereas this is based off of a individual state level rule to where I guess the NCAA could come in and set that, but I mean, I don't see what's stopping a state from saying, no, we can do more.
Yeah, that's what they're kind of doing now, right? The states are saying, nope, you can't stop us. But that's going to be interesting if the NCAA says, okay, players can make no more than $25,000 a year and agents are limited to 5% or something, whatever.
Yeah.
Because then if you're an agent, like, wait, 5% of 25, that's not worth it. But then could that agent have 50 players across the country if they have a connection with, you know, this company or whatever? It's going to be fascinating. But, yeah, I think agents are probably a good idea.
But aren't – I mean, isn't this just going to turn into companies buying players in, like, for recruiting, even though they're not technically doing that?
No, yeah, they can't do that according to the rules.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying.
They can't, but I mean, you have
it. Like, if every quarterback comes to Tennessee, is sponsored by Pilot.
But like, I mean, Florida with their rule,
and then Arkansas, you know, is Walmart, and then we did this whole thing one day.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
when we talked about it, yeah, that was an
Alabama's
issue. But
Nick Saban, Mercedes.
They're supposed to have rules in place, not to say that they won't break them, but whenever the recruiting process can actually begin, like they have to be enrolled before those sponsors can reach out, is how they're going to try to set it up. But yeah, I mean, like. No matter what rules you put in place, people are smart enough to always find a loophole, or they're just willing to cheat and get around it because we don't have an overseeing board that punishes people for this. Now, you're like, Davey, that's what the NCAA is for. And I'm just like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. No, you're right. There's not, I mean, the NCAA has been so slow, they don't even have a rule for this. So how are they, you know, they're not definitely not going to be punished for it. They haven't even developed a rule. 3M Volkoff says, well, couldn't the school just have an agent on payroll since they're taking a cut anyway? But the law says that they can't. No, they're trying to keep school officials – they're trying to make it very clear that school officials can't be involved in the NIL money, so that there's kind of a separation there.
But, okay, so could the school find agents and, like, recommend
– have an approved list, probably.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they probably could do that.
I guess we're lucky to have an agency in town.
But I mean,
a pretty good one.
I mean, that gets dirty in a hurry, though. You know?
So, yeah, like, it's going to be really weird if, like the, Jimmy Sexton is the coach's agent and the star quarterback's agent.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about how the – wouldn't all the approved agents be the biggest donors to the University of Tennessee? Like, if I'm Danny White, I'm like, you want to be an agent? You know, I got this new fund over here that needs funding. This new – what's it called? The
society?
Yeah.
The shareholder society?
Yeah. Oh, interesting. All of our approved agents are the top donors in our shareholder society. I mean,
those
it's just –
people don't have time for that. They're running their own businesses.
Not time. It's money, Houston. You give money to the university, you get more money back being an agent for players, and you're the only ones on the approved list because the university – keeps it, you know,
like I
list.
Said, somebody's going to figure this out. And it, Adam's right. Like, it probably will be Alabama. And then everyone else is going to try to copy them, but they're going to get the head start because they need a head start right now on college football. I just really hope, Davey said it during the break, like, we hired Danny White. He's the rock star, visionary, you know, forward thinking AD. Prove it, bud. It's a real good time for you to start impressing, because so far, some good, some bad.
Hey, we won a tennis championship, Houston.
That's true, we did. SEC champs hang the banner.
They play again on Monday, 10 a.m.
Against Memphis?
No, they already beat Memphis. Arizona in the Sweet 16.
Okay. Oh, already in the Sweet 16?
Yeah.
Dang.
Where do they do the NCAA tennis tournament?
Do what?
Where do they do that game at, like the tennis tournament?
Orlando. Ooh. This year. I don't know if it's always there, but the
Florida's dumpster. Sorry.
The first round.
Hey, that's Danny White's hometown. You watch it.
It's just like basketball. The first round was the two matches this
here,
past weekend,
right? Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
We won both of those. So now we're to the Sweet 16.
No, I knew the host sites were up first two rounds. I didn't know it was in Orlando. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, we're the three overall seeds, so.
Yeah.
I can't remember if Florida might even be the one. I mean, we beat them to win the SEC. Like, we have a shot at maybe winning the whole thing.
That's right. Dr. Dan. Just making things happen. Getting us that Thursday nighter. What are your thoughts on that? Like, you first saw it.
I didn't like it. That was my initial reaction. I don't think it's a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal either. But why didn't you like – why initially were you like, ugh?
Because – it just seems
like... Is it because it's Thursday and, like, the Thursday night... Like, what if it had been Friday night or Wednesday night or Monday night or Sunday night? Like, would that have been a big deal? Or is it because of the connotation of, oh, Thursday night football, that's the bad school, cheesy way?
To me, Tennessee is an all-time big boy football program.
Mm-hmm.
And all-time big boy football programs just... I mean, they don't play Thursday night. That's
Clemson opened.
That's what South Carolina and Vanderbilt do in the
Clemson
SEC.
Opened on a Thursday night the year they won a national championship. They not big boy?
In my head, Clemson is not the same as Tennessee.
So
Clemson,
Ohio State shouldn't be playing on that same Thursday?
Right. They shouldn't. No. I don't think Ohio State should.
I don't have a problem with, like, the set system as far as, like, oh, it's just college football. It means Saturday. Like, I'm fine with games all across the week. I mean, like, I wish the NFL would adopt a model to where they would play on more nights throughout the week. I understand why they don't
currently
have
it. I agree with all that. I'm just telling you what my guts – you know how you watch a game with two teams you don't really care about and you think, I'm not really going to care about this, and then as the game goes, you start to pull for one or the other based on whatever. I'm just telling you, when the Thursday night thing was announced, that was how my, like, subconscious felt as ugh.
If it wasn't for COVID, I wouldn't have a problem with it being on Thursday night.
What does COVID have to do with
because
it?
Because I'm trying to help Knoxville out. Yeah, I'm trying to help Knoxville out. This is
well, they'll stay all weekend, right? People that do come,
not really. No. Well, I mean, you're also limiting people. I mean,
people
I think you're going to have about 10,000 less people because of it. And I already told
15.
You
yeah.
that I don't expect it to be that crowded to begin with. So,
not like a normal
I do think, yeah, like I mean, these people that have these businesses are in a situation to where they're really looking for any and every opportunity to kind of make up for what they've lost over the past year, and this would have been an opportunity to where they definitely would have had a lot more people in attendance. And well, it's not even just the people attending the game, it's people going out tailgating just beforehand,
right.
Just coming into town,
yeah.
Just kind of experience
the
atmosphere.
Yeah, Danny White kind of screwed Knoxville right out of the gate first game.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it, my gut just on the fandom side was like, come on, like we don't need that.
I'm not gonna like fault Danny White for doing it because I mean his job is to help the university. Now granted, I understand why people around him might view it as like this wasn't a good decision and that might hurt a relationship here or there. But
well, you have eight home games this year, right? There are eight, so that's one more than normal. There's no neutral site game. So, I mean, Thursday night's better than a neutral site game, which he just signed us up for against West Virginia.
Right. Give Charlotte all those dollars.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, this is better than that. And I do think...
Yeah, but we had it here. Like, it's not like he had to make a call. It's not like it's like, hey, neutral site or Thursday night. Like, we already had it here on a Saturday.
No, I understand. But the TV viewership is going to be through the roof on this game.
Is it, though?
Compared to what it would have been on Saturday at noon, absolutely.
Okay, then I give you that.
And you're so this is kind of like the introduction of the Josh Heupel era. You're going to have primetime TV basically to yourself, and there's going to be a lot of recruits that are like, all right, let's check out this Tennessee offense, and they're going to have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bowling Green. As long as we win, I don't even care if they put the dang thing on TV.
Oh, come on. We're like 20-something point favorites.
Well, I told you kind of my subconscious reaction, but my like more well-thought out approaches, I can see how it makes sense from both sides, and I don't think it's that big a deal in the grand scheme of things.
I'd like to see a comparison to that App State game, like what the town revenue was that day compared to like if a normal Saturday game.
It just reinforces to me that Tennessee isn't big boy football anymore. That they have to think about moving their game to Thursday so they get more eyeballs on it, because no one's going to watch Tennessee Bowling Green except for diehard Tennessee fans.
And Bowling Green fans.
And Bowling Green fans. And if it's on Saturday.
Big market.
It just doesn't. Tennessee is South Carolina now. Tennessee is Vanderbilt. Tennessee is fill in the blank. I mean, they just are. They need that to reboost. It's Steve Spurrier. It's Big and Rich. It's whoever it was that they played in the opener, UCF, and it's like, let's put it on Thursday so people will watch it. It's Mississippi State.
Kind of worked for Spurrier
Cowbells
for a little bit.
At whatever. No, it did work for Spurrier. It worked because South Carolina needs that because they're not a blue blood. They don't have the stuff Tennessee has, and Tennessee's letting their program has let their program fall so far. That's the level they're on right now.
You guys consider Tennessee a blue blood?
And to me, that's sad.
All time, yes. Lately, no. As I said live, Danny White said on a radio interview last week that the West Virginia game was already on the books when he got to Tennessee, so don't put that evil on Dr. Dan. I told you it wasn't his idea.
He could have got out of it.
Not if the contract had been signed.
He hadn't announced it yet.
We
balled out of contracts that were signed.
Those were home and homes. Those are different. I mean, Ohio State bought out of one with us, I think.
Okay.
Or Michigan or something. Where's some 3-and-pout, negative Nate.
Arizona upset 14-seeded Kentucky. Take that, Wildcats.
Back to the coal mines!
To make the Sweet 16 to take on Tennessee. It's going to be Monday at 10 a.m. from Orlando. On our side of the bracket, if Tennessee wins, they would play the winner of Georgia and North Carolina. North Carolina is actually the better seed. They're 6. Georgia's 11. And then after that, on the two seed is Baylor. So it's Baylor, TCU, Ole Miss, and Ohio State. So look for – hopefully Tennessee will play – will beat Arizona and then get Georgia, North Carolina, and then in what would be a national semi would take on Baylor before a potential – rematch with either a rematch with Florida for the national championship or Texas as the 4 seed on that side. So Texas might beat Florida and get there. But anyway, should be fun as Tennessee tries to win a natty.
We're going to bust out. Brett wants to know if we're busting out the black jerseys for Bowling Green.
Oh, gosh.
Feel like a home opener in Neyland should be a tradition. It can be a different uniform. Like that year we did the Condridge Holloway orange shoulder, but
Tony Vitello's jockstrap has weighed in and told me that is what confirmed to you that we're not big boy football. I feel like it's been pretty obvious. We need to start rebuilding that brand and getting more eyes on a Thursday as we blast Bowling Green would help, right? Yes, it would.
Thank you.
It would, jockstrap.
That was rude.
It would. That's what he named.
It's rude. It's not,
I'm just reading the name.
You call him the whole name.
You're listening to Three and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.
Gonna look like a bad spring game attendance.
No.
Gosh. It does help it's the opener. If they tried to pull a Thursday nighter on like either the non-conference game late in the season or even that one, was it Tennessee Tech?
Yeah.
Was it game three?
That'd be brutal. Pitt might not have been so bad.
That's a weekend I'm going camping, by the way. So just playing accordingly.
Which one? The Tennessee Tech?
Whatever the bad one is, yeah.
Okay. Noted.
Not Pitt, not Florida.
If I have to be here for VR on that Thursday night, I'll probably just sleep here again.
Okay.
Yeah, you should.
Bud Light chair is comfy.
Maybe by then Nate will have replaced the producer's chair.
It's not too bad when you're drunk.
Davey?
Actually, I have a new producer's chair. I'm picking it up. I can pick it up as early as...
Early as.
Tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
But I'm afraid I'm getting some new chairs all around, but I'm afraid it won't fit back there.
No, that's a shame.
So I'm getting some new chairs for these two spots.
You don't know until you try it.
I got a third one that's the same that we can try back there.
Okay.
But if it's too wide, we'll just have to put it here where Hickman's sitting, and then we're gonna have to shop for another thinner version for Davey. So we'll see.
Just get a swiveling bar stool type seat with wheels.
It doesn't have to be tall like a bar.
I thought it did have to be a little taller back there, no?
Mm-mm. Well, a smidge. That's the problem. It's not full bar height, but it's not table height. Yeah. Just slightly taller. Let's go to Matt. Matt,
let's do that.
You're on Three and Out. What's up, buddy?
Nate, don't invest in new chairs for those guys. They haven't earned it.
Well, Houston and I are about to just fall over because people sit in these chairs for 12 hours a day and
they take a beating.
They do.
You gotta toughen these guys up, man.
I like this chair. I'm fine.
Don't pull the back in my day kind of stunt with the they need things to not be as nice, Matt.
You don't even know, Davey. You have no idea what the world's like, man. Young pup. You couldn't even handle my sister-in-law. She'd destroy you.
Yeah, you said she was married. I meant to ask, is that happily or like what's the status there?
Let's not get into certain
he
details.
He didn't even remember the brother-in-law. How he's not going to know the status of the marriage. He forgot there was even a marriage that existed.
Davey, it ain't going to stop you, brother. Just move after it, man.
Jeez.
I'll get with you after the show.
All right, buddy.
Matt, you buy your gas?
Guys? No, I got it this morning.
Good.
But I didn't get my wife didn't get any, so I'm waiting for a phone call whether she's died on Chapman Highway or not.
I don't understand these people. They stay at home not working because they get their unemployment check, but then they go fill up. I mean, the smarter play would have been to stay on empty and then call the boss and be like, sorry,
can't
come
make
in.
It.
For those who still have a job, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's all backwards. People can't even fail correctly.
It's typical Tennessee fans, brother. But it's all about to change on Thursday, the first Thursday night game. We're going to blast Bowling Green and earn our respect.
Yeah, the whole country is going to say, daggone.
They're back.
The balls are back. Because
I watch Minnesota and Ohio State.
Hey, yeah, it's true. Let's be really 100% honest here, guys. I don't care whether they're playing Thursday or Saturday. I kind of like being under the lights. It's all right. But let's not fool ourselves like Tennessee's going to be back to all eyes on Tennessee, Thursday night game, get more viewership. Do we really want people watching us play? I mean, we're going to play this football game, and it's going to be a close game. We're going to look like crap.
No, it's not.
Offense. Yes, we are.
No.
We're going to only win by probably 7-10.
Nope.
And then Monday, we're going to be bitching about how bad we look. I mean, that, we don't want people all eyes on Tennessee. We want to fly under the radar. Give us three games to warm up.
Where are we going to blast Bowling Green?
Oh,
what's the line? Please. We're like 26-point favorites.
I want to make a bet. That
Florida.
Houston predicts that Tennessee covers every spread this year.
No. Come on, man. Well, if they're tight, though, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I just...
We're going 8-4, Matt.
South Carolina had 82,753 fans at Steve Spurrier's opener as they hosted UCF on a Thursday
How
nighter.
Many?
82,000.
Is that a sellout?
That's a sellout. Will Tennessee have more than 82,000 for Josh Heupel's start in Neyland Stadium?
We won't. We will not. Not even close. And
whoa. Like, over under of 82,000, you're taking the under?
Thursday night game, I think we're probably right around 80. I would probably take the under on that, man.
That's a good number. I like where that line set. I'm push.
Give
me the exact
call.
Number. I'll push.
Look, I'm not going either way. I told you guys, they got to earn my respect before I go over there and pay money to watch them.
Oh, I'll be
but
there.
If I was going to go and pay money to watch, a Thursday night game would kind of piss me off a little bit because I don't want to – the game's going to start at 8. I ain't going to get home till midnight or 1 in the morning on a work day. I'm not taking a work day off for Tennessee football, not right now, maybe in a couple of years. But they ain't earned that respect yet, not for me.
Tennessee's opener against App State, in which we won 20-13, announced attendance was 100,074.
It was. I remember being there. It was a packed house.
It's a good crowd.
So there were really 90,000 there if it was an announced 100.
It was a good crowd.
Looking back, I could see them having close to 100 going back. What's the Utah State attendance?
Was that a Thursday game?
No, it was a Sunday game.
Mm.
That game wasn't as hyped up as the App State game, though.
I know, Chucky Keaton, Dark Horse Heisman candidate.
It's true.
What was the
Justin Warren?
Was it last year or was it the year before last? Y'all were talking about it the other day where the boat caught on fire and the
Utah State says it was a sellout, 102,455, Davey.
Hell yeah.
Was Georgia State a sellout?
No.
Surely.
I was at that game, and
I don't
remember that.
No. I was there for 10 minutes. It wasn't a sellout.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I walked by the boat that was burnt. That was a weird day. Really weird day. Yeah.
Georgia State announced attendance 85,000.
Oh, that is
85.5,
which means it was probably really 78.
Yeah, so it was in the '70s.
So that does that make it, since that was a Saturday, does that make the decision to move to Thursday look better or worse? Like if we're
it depends on what the
attendance
ends up
if
being.
We're only getting 85 in Jeremy Pruitt's year two, when we actually thought we might be pretty good, and really if they'd beaten Georgia State and BYU, you could have spun it as a pretty good year. If you only got 85 for a Saturday 3:30 kickoff, by the way, that wasn't a noon game. That was a 3:30 kickoff against Georgia State to begin the season, and we got 85. I mean, shoot.
It's going to be tough, but they're under the lights, though. It's a night game, which that'll bring out a pretty good bit of people.
The BYU game that year, so a week later, was 92,475.
Okay.
Oh, God. 0-2 that season, guys.
But they turned it around.
They did. I know they did.
Just had to ball leave.
Ball leave. Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, I don't care. I think this guy's just got an uphill. He's got an uphill hill to climb. He's going to have to. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in my shoes where they're just. It's look. I've had 15 years of just BS, man. You guys play some good football and start winning. I'll come out and shovel it. I'll put out as much money as I have to. I'll be back on board and be on the train as quick as anybody else. But. I just got that feeling that first game is going to be, one of those we expect a high-scoring game and we end up only putting like 26 points up and one of those weird couple of turnovers and we just don't look that good and then everybody's,
We're going to cook them. Cook them.
Oh, man. Dave, I'll get with you.
Oh.
All right, man. Looking forward to it.
I don't like this. You're trying to break up a happy marriage?
They don't have kids.
First of all, why do you know that? Gross.
Yeah, that's rough.
See you, Matt. Way to go, Dave. Yeah.
Pop.
I can't hear out of my left ear now.
You'll That's be awesome. Fine.
What?
Quit bitching.
What?
We'll come back with
Do
more.
Do your job.
If you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200 is the number. Stick with us on Fan Run Radio.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.
Small business.
I fly like paper, get high like planes. If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name. If you come around here, I'll make a more day. I get one down in a second if you wait. I fly like paper, get high like planes. If you catch me at the border,
welcome back into the Fan Run Studios. Fox Sports Knoxville.
Are you really this bummed over the Thursday nighter?
No. I said it's not that big a deal.
Why are you pouting about it?
I'm not pouting about it.
You're kind of pouting a little bit.
Okay, sorry. I'll get in a better mood. No, I was just reading Brad's question. Is Vol Rumor Mill 8-4 record for against the spread this season?
Yeah, am I saying they're going to go 8-4 on the win loss, or am I just saying against the spread?
Oh.
Maybe both. Maybe both.
Well, we had a good question sent in yesterday after the show. If Tennessee scores 37 points in every single game this season, what's their record?
So you're just saying we score exactly 37 in every game.
Every game.
I'll be a little sheepish today. I'll go ahead and say 8-4.
So it's kind of just a question about the defense, I guess.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, could, like, with the way the passing attack is in college football now, I mean, I could see this defense being worse than what we had in 2012.
Kind of like worse.
Statistically?
Yeah. Like, not necessarily worse for the for the game of football in comparison, but just worse from a numbers standpoint.
Like 10-2?
37 points won't beat Ole Miss or Alabama or Florida.
I think – you don't think it'll beat Florida?
You could argue that, but the fact is, like, when I see Florida and I just know how Tennessee always plays against them, that's whenever I just, like, I mean, I just count that as a loss. Like, I'm not predicting us to beat Florida until I see us beat Florida again. Same goes for Alabama.
Even if we scored 37 points.
I think you got a better chance of beating Georgia than Florida with 37.
No, I would actually counteract that with saying, like, I mean, JT Daniels is going to be able to probably light up a scoreboard. I'm not feeling so confident in Florida's quarterback play right now. But, I mean, no, like, Florida would just find a way, like, we could still score 37, but we give up 21 points by turnovers or something like that. Like, it's just, that's usually how that game goes.
Yeah, we'd lose that game on a blocked field goal return for a touchdown or something.
Something like that. Like, yeah,
well, you guys are awesome.
Kick six,
I'm having a
like,
great time with this.
2.0, like, yeah.
Nope.
So, are you going with 10-2, 9-3? What's your?
Let's just look at something real quick, shall we?
Yeah.
Last year,
okay.
We would, if we scored 37 a game, we'd have lost 2 games.
Fair, but you also have to look at it from the standpoint of we tried to run the clock out majority of the time. If we're going with a completely up-tempo offense to where they're going to have more opportunities, obviously they're like, I don't think you can really compare last year how many points you gave up to this year when you're looking at an offense that is night and day from a style standpoint from Pruitt to Heupel.
But we're scoring 37 a game.
Yeah, but like, we're not going to be scoring 37 a game in Pruitt's system. We're going to be scoring 37 a game where we're having to run like 90 plays a game. And obviously, if you're doing that, there's going to be more opportunities for their offense to also be on the field.
If we're up 37-17, we're going to run the ball a little bit. We're going to milk some clock.
That's fair.
If we score exactly 37 a game, we're going 10-2 or 9-3. Maybe better than that. 37 points a game? Did we even score 37 once last year? Vanderbilt, we scored 42. 37 points is a ton, man.
Here's a better way to look at it. Let's not look at Tennessee. Let's go to UCF. Let's pull up their schedule and see, like, when they scored 37, what did they do last year?
That doesn't make much sense.
It's a style thing, not necessarily a player's thing. Do you see what I'm saying? Based off this style of offense, you're giving the other team a lot more opportunities to score as well. And if the defense is as bad, that's more points for the opposing team.
So scoring points is now bad.
No, I'm not saying that. Do you get what I'm saying, Nate?
Yeah, if you're scoring a lot more points, then the other team's going to inherently score some more points. It's just depending on which team you're playing against is which one's going to be.
If you're asking me if I would take 37 a game, I'm going to take 37
yes,
a game.
I would too.
If UCF scored 37 every game last year, they would have beaten Georgia Tech, East Carolina. They lost to Tulsa anyway, so they lose that one. They lose to Memphis, so they're 2-2. They would have gone 3-2, 4-2, 5-2, 6-2, 6-3, and then would have lost their bowl game. So they would have been 6-4 last year.
But 37 points would have taken away two of those losses.
You had to flip two. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they would have lost two less games. Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
Oh.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if
they would have won two less. Yeah, they would have lost two less, yeah. But they'd have won two less also. So they'd have the same record as they had last year.
Like, I think you have to look at
it.
That
wouldn't have changed anything.
More than what Tennessee did, just because of you're looking at two different style of plays.
Yeah, Tennessee did run the least amount of plays as any SEC team for sure, and one of the worst in the league. Basically,
I'd say no worse than 9-3 if you're scoring 37.
No worse than 9-3?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, hell, I've got them at 8-4.
So you're not as concerned about the defense as a lot of other people are.
I mean, this is going to be the most talent a defense has had under Heupel. And I'm not saying we're going to be some, you know, gangbusters defense, but if we're scoring 37, I mean, if you're making hypotheticals of like, well, what if we throw five picks? Okay, yeah, but I don't know, 37, like no one would say no to that.
You score 37, who are you losing to?
You're losing to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say you're losing one of Georgia or Florida, but I could see both of those being wins if you score exactly 37. Ole Miss, I agree, like they might score a ton, but I mean, Ole Miss had games last year where they didn't score a ton of points.
But I think what Davey's saying is because we're a high scoring team, it's going to be a high scoring game.
No,
with
sure,
Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So it's weird to think that the 37 points against Ole Miss is not a good performance, but 37 against Georgia might be. I don't know. That's weird to think about,
mm-hmm.
But. I can see the logic there.
Like,
which makes it a fun question. Because, I mean,
right.
Obviously, you're much more likely to score 30. If Ole Miss and Georgia somehow this year end up being the exact same level of teams overall,
mm-hmm.
You're still much more likely to score 37 points or more against Ole Miss than you are against Georgia. Everyone
sure.
Agrees with that.
Yep. I'm just saying, like, Ole Miss, for example, they scored 26 points in a win over Indiana. I mean, they scored, 48 in a loss to LSU. They beat Mississippi State 31-24. They beat South Carolina 59-42. That's right. See, like, they don't have a defense either. They scored 54 against Vanderbilt. They
right.
scored 28 against Auburn, 21 against Arkansas, 48 against Alabama, which is pretty impressive.
How many points did they have in their losses, though? That's probably a really good comparison.
35, 48, 21, 28,
it's still 48. It's still high scoring.
No, I agree.
I would compare that.
If you score 37 against Ole Miss, you could either lose by 10 or beat them by 10. Really
right.
No,
yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's
inconsistent.
Yeah, I mean, I'd count Ole Miss as a loss if I just had to predict. Like, I think,
coward.
I think you're going to have to be in the 40s to beat Ole Miss.
Lane will be fired up for that one, too, which doesn't help.
Eh.
I think your losses are Alabama. If you scored 37
But we're stuck at 37.
Right. We can't do better than that. So I think...
Based off the hypothetical.
Right. Yeah.
So we could hypothetically have 37 at the half, and we're just not allowed to score in the second half?
Four. Five.
Well, that was the question. If you scored 37...
I mean, I think you could go 7-5 scoring 37. I don't get your 9-3 at worst. That makes no sense. You could lose to Missouri, score 37, lose to Missouri easily. You could score 37 and lose to Florida and Georgia for sure. I mean,
like, I guess that's the weird part about saying exactly this number.
It is. It does make the question very odd.
Yeah, and I haven't even seen this defense at full. Like, I have no idea. Like, maybe Tim Banks.
I mean, in a weird
paired
way,
with the Heupel offense is the perfect combination.
We could beat Bowling Green 64-63-38
Sure.
And everybody be like, man, we look like $1 million. And everybody be happy. And they'd be fine. But for this hypothetical, you just lost. Yeah. So it's,
right.
a, very, it's a very weird question.
Yeah, Billy,
it's fun.
Shared the points per game and who averaged the most in 2020. UCF came in at 7th in the country and with 42.2 points a game, and they still lost 4 games. So it's like...
Well, that's well, that's why
that,
the question
that goes
is,
to that style.
No, but that's why the question is like how maybe not good, but like what is the potential of this defense? Because obviously this is not guys. We got to shut them out. We got to we got to keep them in. Like this is a can you make a couple of plays here and there to where you're winning 48-40, not 48-0.
Lance Leopold scored 43.4 points a game last year.
Kansas getting a exciting brand of football.
It's funny. Kent State's number one, Alabama second.
Kent State, really?
Nick Saban, man. He just dominates the...
Even his alma mater's killing it. Wow.
We'll come back. Final segment. Hour number two. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.
You're listening to 3 and Out. WKGN. Fan Run Radio.
Final segment, hour number two. Appreciate you joining us. If you missed any portion of the program, you can always check out the podcast. And make sure you subscribe on iTunes. That way you get the programs from Fox Sports Knoxville directly to your device. What was our record? What would be our record last year if we scored 37 a game? Like 8-2?
Two losses.
8-2.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, we talked about it.
And a bowl ban.
During the break, we were.
No, COVID last
right,
year.
Right, I know.
We were, Houston and I were kind of going back and forth as far as like points per game. And it's like, well, if you just have to cap it at 37, I was like, yeah, but I mean, we're looking at it like, let's say you scored 37 across the board for all 12 games, you're averaging 37 points a game.
Quick math.
And so,
yeah.
But I understand, like, if you have 37 points a game, and we looked at it, Tennessee last year finished 108th in the country at 21.5 a game. So if you could get to 37.
109th. That's what I got. Sports reference.
I went to team rankings. Kentucky's at 107 at 21.8. So JG actually kind of helped them get us by 1 point. But that's neither here nor there.
That's
so,
a good point. It's a really good point. Defensive points matter.
But if you were to jump almost 16 points a game, like that's an incredible mark to hit from 1 year to the next. And granted, you have an opportunity because, I mean, last year wasn't all SEC schedule, so you get some of the, like, the
yeah.
the Tennessee Techs and the
Bowling
Greens of the world, like, I mean, that would be great progress. That would make me feel optimistic moving forward to see this offense against, especially some of the teams we're going to be having to play against, like, score that many points. Like, I would feel good going into year two.
All right.
You're averaging 37 points a game.
Predict our average points a game, like, for real. Last year we were, what, you said 21 points on them?
Yeah. Again, the thing is, it's not an all-SEC schedule. If I had to say right now, I'd put it somewhere around like 28.5.
Let's see here.
Because like football's really, we talk a lot about the baseball stats this time of year with a good baseball team, and it's funny how you can look at the SEC stats compared to the full season stats. With football, it skews it even more, right? I mean, when you are, I think about some of the pre-national championship winning, like LSU teams, for example,
mm-hmm.
with really good defenses, their SEC points per game might have been 25, but they put up 58 on Nick State in week two.
Right,
you know,
right.
So it skews the season average sure. way up with a couple of games.
Heupel's offenses over the years, 5 years at Oklahoma, 39.5 points per game, 38.2, 32.8, 36.2. 1 year at Utah State, 29 points a game. Missouri in 2016, 31.4. 2017, 37.5. The last three seasons at Central Florida, 43.2, 43.4, 42.2. The 37 number actually is probably pretty close. But like you said, are you scoring 60 against Bowling Green and then stumbling against
Missouri? I mean, in a weird way, if you scored 37 points, I give you in against Pittsburgh, I give you a better chance to win that game than if you scored 37 against South Alabama or Bowling Green or neither should matter, but like Pitt's so defensive minded, I feel like that game's going to be lower scoring just in general.
Is that true? We keep saying that. Like,
yeah,
they were in like the what 40s defense.
Yeah, I mean, but they're. I think last year was more of a weird. I don't know. We can look back at their season.
They scored 55 against Austin Peay. Shut them out too. They score 55, 21, 23, 29, 30, 19, 3, 41, 47, 17, 34. They score 41 points at Florida State. Look out. 47 at Virginia Tech. This game might be a shootout. You never know.
If you averaged 37 points a game in the 2019-2020 season, where LSU led the way with 47 points a game,
mm-hmm.
you know, Joe Burrow,
yes,
that would have put you 10th in the country.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Tennessee that year was 101.
Hey!
At 22.4.
Nice. I think we can all agree we're going to score more points.
Yeah, I was trying to answer my own question to Davey. Where do I think we'll finish for the year? I mean, what if we average, would you take, I don't know, like Auburn that year was 36 in the country, averaging 31.7 points. I mean, with Florida was 34th, same number. I guess they were all tied for 34th, technically. There's a lot of teams at, like, 29, 30, 31. Like, mm-hmm. there's a pretty big. So I would think that's kind of a realistic goal. Now, it does mean you're probably putting up, 48, 55, and.
Yeah, I did. I got a dinner bet with Matt that we hang 50 on somebody.
I mean, you need to be, like, in the 60s when you play Tennessee Tech. I mean, it needs to be 63 to, 10. When you play Tennessee Tech.
Yes.
To get to some of those numbers, probably. But I mean, all the scoring's going up. I mean,
true.
Just like I said, we could beat Bowling Green, 63 to 38. I mean, you could lose to Alabama, 63 to 40 and feel like you were never in it. They kind of get a 2-touchdown lead.
I mean, Ole Miss was in it last year, but I mean, they scored, 48? But gave up 60-something? Well, the good news is Caden Salter's working his way back.
Oh,
he's earning his way back to the team.
Okay.
He and Aaron Willis.
He's not back, but he's earning his way back.
Heupel says he's earning his way back. They are earning their way back.
Okay.
So we're going to be
– that's the latest.
We're going to be full go, minus the guys who were in the transfer portal.
In 2019, Pitt scored 14 points in a loss to Virginia. They beat Ohio, scoring 20. They lost at Penn State 17-10. They beat UCF 35-34. They beat Delaware 17-14. They beat Duke.
Delaware 17-14?
Yeah.
What year is this?
This is 2019. Same coach, same, you know.
Okay. This is the non-COVID year.
The year before COVID, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They did go on the road and beat Duke 33-30. They beat Syracuse 27-20. They lost to Miami at home 16-12. They beat Georgia Tech 20-10. It took overtime to get past North Carolina 34-27.
Mm-hmm.
They lost at Virginia Tech 28-0.
And they lost, guys are scared of Pitt.
And they lost to Boston College 26-19. No, I'm actually not. I think they can't score, and I think it's a great matchup for Tennessee. It's kind of a perfect matchup for Josh Heupel, because if our offense can score, you got a great shot to win that game. You'll get credit for beating a Power 5 team.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not – I mean, even if you lose a close one to them, you're not taking that much blame, really. And, I think it's a great matchup, because this is the Pitt I remember when I say they're defensive.
Right,
I didn't really keep up with them last year, COVID and all that.
And we'll have an extra few days to prepare.
There you go. There you go.
A little extra rest.
Good point by you, Houston.
Watch some film.
We'll kick off hour three. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.